Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
We have our Facebook family who's online with us. So, you know, Angel loves for us to invite our Facebook family and friends. So go to your smartphone and invite people, share this sermon with them, share this opportunity with them. You know, the giving spirit, we're in the spirit of giving. And hopefully that's the way we're looking at it. And by the end of the sermon, I pray we will have more of the spirit of giving than the spirit of receiving. Because some of us like to get, and we're constantly wanting more. But as we look at the scriptures, you know, we can learn a lot about the spirit that Jesus wants us to have. You know, Jesus was amazing because he often taught in parables. Simple stories to bring very profound points to help people to dig deeper in their relationship with God. And I want to share a parable with you. I want to share a simple story with you that is a children's story. And you know, children's stories can be very profound. Yeah. I think sometimes children's stories help adults more than they help children. Yeah. And it's a story entitled The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. Anybody heard of that book before? The Giving Tree? You know, we had technical issues because we had an automated version of it, but it didn't work. So we're going to have to do it the old-fashioned way. I was telling Evan, you know, sometimes in life you just got to be prepared because technology don't always work. And when you live long enough, you didn't have technology anyway, so big deal. You know, there was once a tree, and she loved a little boy. And every day the little boy would go out and climb up the tree and swing from her branches and eat apples. And they would play hide and seek together, and the tree was happy. The boy grew up, and as he grew, he just didn't visit the tree that often. But one day he came back to visit the tree, and the tree was happy. The tree was like, come, boy, climb my branches, swing, eat my apples, and have a good time. And of course, the boy had become a young man. He said, you know, I want money. Do you have money you can give me? The tree said, I don't have any money, but you can take my apples and sell them, and then you'll have money. So the boy gathered up all the apples, greedy little rascal, took all the apples and took them to sell them, and the tree was happy. Then after a long, long time, the boy grew into a middle-aged man, and he came back, and the tree was so excited that she shimmered with excitement. Come, boy, I've missed you. Climb my trees. Have fun. And the boy said, you know what? I don't have time for fun. I'm getting married. I'm going to have a family. I need a house. Can you give me a house? The tree said, the forest is my home. I don't have a house, but take my branches, cut them off, and you can go build yourself a house. So the boy cut off all the tree's branches and left. And the tree was happy. Then after a very, very long time, he became an older man. Any older brothers out here? Don't be shy. You only got two choices. He had become an older man. And the tree was like, I've missed you. I've missed you. Come, let's have fun. Let's play hide and seek. Let's enjoy life together. He said, I'm too old and too tired to enjoy life. I just want a boat to sail far, far away. Can you give me a boat? I don't have a boat, but you can cut down my trunk and build yourself a boat and sail away to be happy. So the man cut down the trunk and left, and it was just a stump, and the tree was happy, but not really. Then after a very long time, an old man with a cane showed up. And the tree said, "It's the boy. I'm sorry, boy, I don't have any apples to give you." He said, "I don't have any teeth. I don't have any branches to climb. I'm too weak, I can't climb. In fact, you know, tree, all I want to do is, I just want a nice, quiet place to sit." I can relate to that. Just peace and quiet, just to sit. And the tree was just a stump, but it straightened up itself, said, "A stump is a great place to sit." So the old man sat on the stump, and the tree was happy. Who was consistently happy in that story? Because the tree kept giving. It kept giving, and it kept giving. And then you ever feel like, "I have nothing else to give"? Anybody ever gone through that? Now, I know y'all had turkey, and it'll knock you out. Y'all had stuffing, and you're feeling stuffed. But we got to have church this morning. All right, can we just say a little bit of amens? I mean, you know, I got a confession. I had turkey, too. So, but what we learn from this lesson is, it has a scriptural concept to it. Because even the Apostle Paul said, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Amen. Well, Keegan believes that. It is more blessed to give than to receive. What does that mean, blessed? It means happy. We are happier when we give than when we are receiving. We're not convinced of that, but we'll get there. See, as believers in God, we have to get to the place that we are going to imitate our Father in heaven and do more giving than just receiving. And some of us may be saying, "What do I have to offer? I don't have a whole lot." Well, you know, Jesus set an example by teaching us we all have something to give. And I have three quick points. We all have time. We have talents. And we have treasures. And all those have been given to us by God. How are we using what God has given us? I found this quote. I want to share it with you. I love this quote. "Time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you can never get it back. Time just keeps on moving." Now, for those in their 20s, you may feel like, "Man, I got a lot of time. I mean, what's he talking about time? That old dude don't know what he's talking about. Man, I got time." But the older you get in life, you will realize time moves fast. I don't know about you, but we just had Thanksgiving. Last Thanksgiving. We're already back to Thanksgiving. It's almost 2020. Time, it seems as though, is moving faster and faster. Some of you who are a little bit more mature, you'll remember this quote. "Like sand through the hourglass." What is it? "Like sand through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives." Y'all remember those stories? The ones that never ended? You know, in Psalm 90, verse 12, it says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." That means, God, help us to understand that each of us came to this planet with a set amount of time. That's all we get. I don't know. Some of us may get 80 years, 90 years. Some of us may even get 20-something years. But God himself decided, as he sent us to this planet, you have a set amount of time. And we can't buy anymore. We can't bargain for anymore. We only have what God allows us to have. And you know, Jesus set such a great example. Because what Jesus said, I brought glory to you here on this earth by completing the work you gave me to do. With the time that Jesus had, he only had 3 short years. He said, I brought glory to you while I was on this earth by completing what you asked me to do. How are we doing with the time God has given us? If we reflect back over 2019, how did we use our year? To the glory of God. And you know, that's what we have to wrestle with, because it's easy to build our kingdom and neglect God's kingdom. It's easy to say, I got to do this for me, instead of saying, what can I do to bring glory to God? What are your gifts? Have you discovered your talents? Have you discovered what is unique about you? How God designed you in a way. God sent every person to this planet with at least, and according to a parable, everybody got at least one.
That's right.
You may say, oh, I can't do what you do. I can't do what that person does. I love the scripture. For the grace God given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though we are many, form one body, each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So the scripture says, number one, let's not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. But what I've noticed a lot of times, when people become Christians, they don't struggle with a overinflated ego as much as an underinflated, right. I have nothing to offer.
Right.
Now, in the world, we think very highly of ourselves.
Right.
And we're all CEOs, and we're all entrepreneurs, and we all can do anything we want to do. And we can't understand why they just won't let us run the company, because we got all the best ideas. We can't understand why we have a supervisor when we should be their supervisor. Oh, I know my people quite well. But we get baptized into Jesus. We come into the church and we're like, I'm just going to sit and observe. I'm just going to watch what y'all do. You know, I can't sing like them singers. I can't sing. No, I can't do all that preaching thing. You know, but I can attend. I have the talent of showing up. I have the talent of making sure Miss Beverly don't have to take them refreshments home. I don't want Miss Todd to feel stressed out because he's got all those refreshments, so my talent will be eating them all up. Then I can't clean up because that's not my talent. I can't sweep up, that's not my talent. But I'll be here next Sunday. It says, number one, we have different gifts according to the grace given each of. For those of us, and there's some highly talented people in this room. You know, I like to interact with who's visiting a church, and I like to talk to people who are studying the Bible, and I take mental notes. You do what in the world? Okay. Then 6 months down the road, I'm just doing a mental evaluation. What is so-and-so doing? Do y'all know so-and-so does this on their job? Do y'all know so-and-so does this in the world? Have we sat down with so-and-so to help them understand God gave you that? Now, are you going to give it back to him? Well, you know what? Nobody ever asked me to do anything. So, you know, I'm just waiting to be asked. God's spirit is always looking for willing souls to do his will. And I think that's what we have to wrestle with. We have to wrestle with that. Because let me tell you, Jesus was the most talented individual who ever lived. And are y'all familiar with Matthew chapter 4? Yep. The temptation of Christ? See, Satan came along and he said, I know who you are. And he tried to manipulate Jesus. Right. If you really are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. He said, Jesus, I know you're the best baker creation has to offer. I bet that would have been some good bread. But what did Jesus say? Nope. Man does not live on bread alone. What? Do this. Put on a show. Put on a spectacle. Throw yourself down from the highest point of the temple. People will follow you. Just use your talents for me. Jesus said, I do this for God. Let me tell you, if you have a talent, Satan is going to come after you. Because he wants you to build his kingdom. Yep. And he wants to manipulate the gifts that God has given you. And, you know, I want us to understand, because we have some talented people out here. We have artists. You know, one of the major differences between God and Satan, God is the ultimate artist. He has the ability to create. Satan can't do that. He's limited. Because if he could create, he would have his own universe and his own people. So what he does, he distorts what God has created. He manipulates what God does. And so many times with our gifts, with our talents, with our abilities, it all comes from God. But we allow Satan to manipulate us. See, that's what we have to spend some time thinking and praying about. How can I use my gifts for God? You know what we're going to do this coming year, my wife and I, along with the Maldonados, we're going to expand our leadership development program. Amen. You know, normally we do Mobilize in the summer. We're going to do that all year long, because the prayer is for us to take our talents and gifts. And I know some of us are wrestling, trying to figure out, how can I use what I have to bring glory to God? So I just don't want to preach at you. I want to help teach you how to do that. And help you understand that you can really use this. Everybody, you got to figure it out. We're going to help you figure out what your talents are, what your gifts are, but then we're going to help you figure out how to use them. For one reason: bring glory to God and to build his kingdom. I love the PATH Church, but the goal is not just to build the PATH Church. See, I think sometimes we go, I want them church people to use me. I'm holding back, because you know church people, they like to use you. Anybody ever felt that? Y'all trying to act so spiritual. Jazz, do you know what I'm talking about? Won't preachers use you, Jazz? But I think what we have to understand is we do this for God. Because if we focus on people are going to hurt us. People are going to disappoint us. People are going to mess up. People are going to blow it. I'm going to blow it. I'm not going to say everything the right way. You may use your talent and gift, and I may not say thank you. Not because I'm being rude, because so many things are going on, and maybe I am being rude, but because I'm human, you don't do this for me. I'm just a man. I'm just one of the ministers here. I'm just one of that guys serving along with Derek as one of the elders. We got to look beyond people. And that's hard. That's hard, because we love each other. But we got to look beyond people, and we got to say, you know what? It comes from God. It comes from God. I got to give it back to God. Let me see what my next slide says here. In the New Testament, we don't find our gifts through self-examination and introspection, and then find ways to express it. Instead, we love one another, serve one another, help one another, and in doing so, we see how God has equipped us to do so. Now, in a lot of theological realms, it's years and years of study. It's years and years of quiet self-meditation and reflection. What are my gifts? Talk to me, Jesus. What are my gifts? Oh, I'm waiting on the voice of God. That's not how it works. Now, some of us may hear the voice of God. Amen. Yeah. We'll talk about that in another sermon. But we can all love one another. Is that easy? Well, you said that loud, Misty. Goodness. Whew. You can confess it later. I mean, I don't know what you're going through. Whew. No, it's true. He's honest. It's not easy. Serve one another. Who wakes up in the morning saying, who can I serve today? I just want to serve. No hands went up. Jeez. Help one another. Notice one another, one another, one another. Christianity is a communal faith. Biblical Christianity was about one another because they did not have the social services that we have today. They did not have the federal government providing. In the ancient world, you either had your family or you had some type of spiritual community or you were on your own. You were on your own because there were no safety nets. And let me tell you, Jesus came in and taught, love one another, serve one another, help one another. Because if we are all working and serving and helping, then at some point your time comes around. At some point you will need help. Now, I know some of us, you from my school of thought, you don't mind helping, but you don't want nobody to help you. You like being self-sufficient. You like being the great provider and giving out and, I'll help. But let me tell you, you won't grow in appreciation until you are in moments of weakness. And I want to thank this church. You have been so supportive of myself and Sean and our family. And I want to thank you so much. And difficult times, you have helped us as you have allowed us to help you. And that's really what the family of God should be about. And I know some of us, we feel like, well, I'll just be here, bro. I don't want you to think about me. I don't want anybody to. No, that's not how it works. It's called humility. Even Jesus was humble. Jesus told them, brothers, come with me. Sit here. I'm overwhelmed to the point of death. Can y'all just come and pray? Jesus, can you imagine hanging out with Jesus and say, can you just pray with me? How would you respond to that? The Son of God, overwhelmed. Can you pray with me? And what did them brothers do? Yes, we'll pray. They fell asleep. Because deep down inside, they're like, he don't need us. Even Jesus needed encouragement. The creator of the universe wanted to feel like he was not alone. I think one of the challenges in Christianity, too many of us feel like we're alone. And no one can really relate to the struggles and the challenges that we're going through. But you know, the way you fix that is when you are serving, loving one another, helping one another. Because what I've seen in life, you can't outgive God. And the Bible says you reap what you sow. Has anyone experienced reaping blessings when you were a blessing to someone else? Amen. You reap what you sow. And there are so many scriptures that teach you cannot outgive God. I think one of the challenges we feel like, man, I'm gonna give so much away, I'm not going to have anything left for me. I'm going to give my time away, I'm not going to have any time for myself. I'm going to use my talents, but I'm going to miss out because I've given so much away. And I've done this thing long enough to see that you really can't outgive God. You can't. Because when you feel like I've done so much, God will show up and say, and I remember. I have not forgotten. People may forget, but I have not forgotten. Let's talk about our treasures. Ooh, it got quiet. Don't tell me where your priorities are. Show me where you spend your money, and I'll tell you what they are. That's a quote. I love when people write quotes, but really, they just get it from the Word of God. It comes from the Word of God, because what it is Matthew chapter 6. That's what Jesus said. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's easy to desire more. It's easy to watch commercials and think, man, I need this. I need that. I want this. I want that. Man, it's more and more. And it's just stuff. A lot of stuff. And we just get more stuff. And we're trying to figure out where we're going to put all our stuff. I know, let's rent a storage unit for the stuff. And we just got all this stuff. And we got stuff. And we got stuff. And then sometimes we forget we have the stuff. You ever went out and bought the same thing you already had at home? Am I the only one who's done that? It's like, oh, I can use that. Then a couple of months later, I got two of them. What? Stuff, stuff, stuff. There's something wrong with enjoying life. And listen, I don't want us to be people of extreme. Because it's easy to be people of extreme. And then you're mad at me. Well, he the one who told me to sacrifice my time. So I didn't do anything. I didn't take vacation. I didn't go to bed. I stayed up all. I didn't work in the kingdom. Then 3 years when you burn out, that sermon you did after Thanksgiving, I got so convicted. No, I'm not saying have healthy boundaries. Get input. There are enough older Christians in this room. We can tell you, okay, you've done enough. Go home and go to sleep. And when you're at that place, you're getting, I'm serving. You need a nap. Go take a nap. That's enough. You're doing more harm than good at that point. Go home. We love you. It's called wisdom. That's why I said number our days in wisdom. So our talents. Well, see, I just use my talents for God. And you know, I didn't expect to get paid. So I just started baking because I'm a master baker, and we have some in this room. But I just gave it all away, and I baked German chocolate cake. Some things are expensive, but I say it's yours. Right. You don't have to pay for the ingredients. You don't have to pay for my time. I'm just doing it for the king. No. Right. It's called being business savvy. It's called understanding. I don't want anyone to feel like you're just doing stuff and then you're doing stuff, but you're not paying your car note, so your car got repoed. Or you're not paying rent and your roommates say you got to go. It's called work. And we got to be wise, and I don't want us to take advantage of each other. You know, because there are some brothers and sisters who like to hustle. Well, let me phrase it. Not hustle, they're hustlers. Right. And they will take advantage of good-natured people. That's why you got to get advice. Yes. And one of the areas we got to grow in is Christian entrepreneurship. Yes. We're talking about doing business with each other in a respectful way where we understand we compensate people for their time and energy. I mean, you're a great carpenter. Just come and take care of my house. Right. And I'm going to pay you in a hug. Right. Now, I have a good friend of mine. He does things for me. I call him up. Hey, bro, I need this. I say, hey, man, I need them turkeys fried. How much do I owe you? He said, $3 million. I said, I'm going to give you a penny a day. Since we'll be in heaven together, I'm going to come knock on your mansion door. Here's your penny, and I can pay you back. But I want him to understand I appreciate what he does. He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to do that. And I don't want him to feel as though I'm taking advantage of. So I will offer. And, you know, what he says. So all I'm saying is there's wisdom, because I know we can be people of extremes. And I don't want us to be people of extremes. And then if we're feeling stuff, we got to talk it out. I mean, nobody read minds in here. We got to talk it out. We got to work it out. You know, learning how to use our treasures. Jesus said, don't store up anything. Because in ancient times, most people woke up with one thought on their minds. What am I going to eat today? It was just about daily bread. That's why he said, when you pray, give us our daily bread. There were no Publix, no Kroger, Piggly Wiggly. I mean, that stuff didn't exist. They had to go out and find the bread for that day. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7, it said, we brought nothing in this world, and we will take nothing with us. We're not taking anything with us. So, hey, for those of us who've been blessed abundantly, share. I like clothes. I like buying clothes. So I've gotten in the habit of donating stuff. Just notice, instead of saying, I'm not going to buy anything, because then I'm torturing myself. I torture myself. Go in the store, Men's Warehouse. Ooh. That's nice. Okay. I said I wasn't going to buy anything. Well, I'll make an exception to the rule. But then I figured out, instead of torturing myself annually, I just take it to Goodwill. Take it to Goodwill. Because, you know, I used to try to give it to brothers, but I can't wear that stuff them brothers are wearing today. No more tight, skin tight jeans. I can't. We did that in the 80s. It was called Jordache, Calvin Klein's. We did that in the 80s. I can't even fit in them. But I'm not the only one, so. I didn't call any names. Why y'all laughing? Y'all heard about the rich man who died? You heard about the rich man who died and said he wanted to take his gold with him? Yeah, the rich man died. He took all his gold with him. He had all his gold. When he arrived at the pearly gates, Peter said, what did you bring with you? He said, gold. He said, thank you. We need more pavement for our streets. In heaven, the streets are like gold. It's plentiful up there. That's why Jesus said, don't get so caught up. Don't get so worried. Don't get so stressed out about things that you're leaving here. Now, be wise. We need to pray for wisdom. We all have time. We all have talents. We have treasures. But how are we using those, what God has given us, for his glory? You know, a good friend of ours, my mentee, who ended up becoming a Christian, Kavi Purdue, passed on. And we're going to talk more about the Next Gen Fund, the Kavi Purdue Next Gen Fund. But one thing I can honestly say about that brother, with the time that he had after becoming a Christian, he used it for God. He used it. He used his talents. Used his talents for God. He didn't have treasure. He had our treasures, and he used that. He used it. Hey, I got so-and-so coming to your house. Okay. Hey, Jazz, come pick me up. Okay. He knew how to use time and talent and treasure for God. And that's why we want to keep his legacy alive. Self-reflection. As we get ready to close out this year, I want us to spend some time thinking and praying. How did I use my time, talents, and treasures this past 2019? How did I use it? My time, my talents, my treasures. With the use of my time, talents, and treasure, did I help anyone come closer to Jesus? For those of us who are Christians, we make disciples.
That's right.
We are here for one reason. One reason God leaves us on this planet, to help somebody else. And we have got to understand the importance of obeying the Great Commission. Go. Make disciples. The plan, it blows my mind. God's plan for humanity, for salvation, is left up to people.
Right.
God says, people are going to help people make it to be with me for all eternity. That's my plan. And there are brothers and sisters in this room who have embraced it. Now I want more of us to understand that's not just the preacher's call, the Bible talk leader's call, the small group leader's call, for the ones who really love Jesus' call. That's for anybody who says, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That means I wake up in the morning and I think about how can I build God's kingdom today?
Yeah.
And I'll give you a very simple solution, something I've been doing for years. Every day I think about how can I build God's kingdom? Who can I pray for today? Who can I reach out to today? Who can I serve today? It's very simple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now imagine when a couple of hundred people are thinking every day how they can build God's kingdom. Couple of hundred people praying, couple of hundred people serving, couple of hundred people studying the Bible with friends and family. You don't have to do it all by yourself. Just got to do your part. How can I bring glory to God with the use of my time, talents, and treasures in 2020? How can I? How can God depend on me to do my part in 2020? Spend some time in self-reflection. Pray about it. Because really, it's called conviction.
Yeah.
When it's our conviction, when we're convinced that this has been given to me by God, then nobody has to beg us and plead with us and fight with us and wrestle with us. Because it overflows from what we want to do.
Right.
What we want to do for God. Motivation. What is the motivation? The cross. Jesus already set the example. There has been no greater example set than Jesus dying on the cross. He gave it all. He gave it all. And right now we're going to have a time of communion where we can just spend some time thanking God for his plan, thanking Jesus for his sacrifice. And we got to get in the habit of no matter what we're going through, no matter what the day has been like, learning to think about Jesus. Just putting it all in perspective. If we can make a decision every day in 2020, we're going to spend some time thinking about Jesus, then a lot of the stuff I talked about will take care of itself. Because we'll think about Jesus. That's the motivator. Let's go to God in prayer. Father and God, we come before you right now. And God, we want to thank you so much, God, for the way you give to us. God, you have given so much. And God, you constantly give, God. And you said it to even test you to see, God, that when we sacrifice, you give us even more. And I pray, God, that we can in some way express our gratitude to you. That God, in some way, we can be motivated by your son who gave his life so we could live. Thank you so much for Jesus' death, the burial, and most especially the resurrection. Because it's because of the resurrection, God, that we're here today. And we are so grateful for him resurrecting. And Father, I pray that you will bless this bread that represents the broken body, the fruit of the vine that represents the blood that was shed. And we ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.